Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with DJ producer Fedi Legrand, and it's a wonderful chat. Fedi is at home in Holland, and we recorded this over Zoom, as obviously we were still in lockdown when this was recorded on the 26th of April. So by the time this comes out, hopefully normal service would have resumed. Let's stay positive, kids. Before we get on with that chat, some thank yous. Big thanks to Egg Fried. Big thanks to Hotel Chocolat. Big thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Huge thanks to 76 for producing this podcast and taking the best bits of Zoom audio and putting a sprinkle of magic on it to try and ensure you get a nice warm studio sounding podcast in these bizarre times where it's still not cool to sit in a room and have a chat. So we're doing the best we can to keep you entertained. And it's you that I'm going to thank next. Thanks loads for continuing to support Off the Beaten Track. It's an absolute joy for me to get to sit and chat to so many wonderful people. And the fact that it's received nicely and kindly and warmly by you lot just makes it an absolutely wonderful bonus. So thanks, because we're not far off 300 episodes now, and throughout the whole of lockdown, you know, for seasoned listeners, you've seen the output grow significantly from, you know, an episode a week to generally sort of three or four episodes each week, because I'm trying to maximise the downtime of, you know, that lockdown's imposed, you know, not being able to have my club open, by speaking to creative people and keeping that element of my brain fired up and getting to hear these people talking about their journeys and their creativity. I found it a really, really wonderful and healthy and happy distraction through some of the stranger times of the pandemic. And I hope that you lot have had a fraction of the happiness I've got having them chats listening. And if this is your first time listening, then when you get to the end of this episode, then go and explore the back catalogue. Hear me chat to guests such as Fatboy Slim. Who else have we had lately? Who else have we had? Foo Fighters, Papa Roach. Don't know where to go now. There's so many. It's so ridiculous. I said that we're fast approaching 300 episodes, and then the minute I have to pick five to mention, I still draw an absolute blank. But yeah, if you like your producers, I mean, Butch Vig, I mean, it doesn't get any bigger a producer than him. Had a wonderful chat with Butch Vig. Go explore that episode. Comedians, you know, you can hear me chatting to James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Jade Adams, Maisie Adam, loads. So just go and explore them, because they're all for free. So just go and get stuck in, and better still subscribe, then you won't miss any of the ones that come out. They just pop up on your listening device, so you don't even have to worry about it. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast, there's the obvious ways you can do it, which is just tell your pals about it. That's always really cool. Or you can give us a little bit of love on the socials, you know, whether that's a like, love, share, retweet, whatever you want to do. But you can also get access to another 200 or so episodes and radio shows and video episodes and support the podcast for as little as 79p a month at www.patreon.com/offthebeatandtrack. So you can go over there and support the podcast over there. If not, don't worry, because there's still, like I say, 300 episodes to go and listen to for free. And I'm just happy that you're here. And if you want to do the Patreon thing, that'd be incredible. But no pressure. We're in testing times. Okay, well, I think that's me done with all the kind of pre-show waffle. All you need to know is that everything I've just said, you can find out about on the website, offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. So I know why you're here. It's not to hear this lispy Essex twang, is it? It's to hear today's guest. So it gives me enormous pleasure to say, please enjoy Off the Beat and Track podcast with Freddie Legrand. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beat and Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. Joining me today via the means of Zoom, Fred Legrand. Hello.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, we spoke briefly about the situation that we're in. Where I didn't actually ask exactly where you are.
I'm in Holland, which is where I was born. So which is fairly fine.
Well, I mean, we've touched upon the obvious conversation, which is the pandemic that we're hopefully in our respective countries slowly finding our way out of. But for somebody that makes a huge part of their living DJing, I just wonder how you found the last 14 months as both a human being and as an artist.
Well, I think for a lot of us it's a little it's a double-edged sword, I would say. I think, or at least most of the guys that I spoke, the silver lining to all of this was that it's sort of like an obligated sabbatical. So you kind of have to, take a slower pace, which I think is in a lot of our cases was actually good. I can see for myself that, it definitely my creativity is like double at least. It's just because you have time to let things sink in and have time for some other things. And of course, like you can finally attend birthdays and Christmas and all those things. So there was a little bit of a silver lining to a situation that of course is not or far from ideal, I would say. So I, to be honest, I kind of enjoyed that, to be able to do some things that I always wanted to do, but never could find time. And especially being in the studio a lot again, which is kind of nice. But at the same time, of course, there's a bit of anxiety for a lot of people, which you also feel. And the weirdest thing for me was actually, even though I like being in the same time zone for a while, but I had no idea winters took so long. Oh man, it's the days got shorter and shorter, and it's so dark and oy oy oy. So I'm sort of happy that we are here right now.
And in regards to, you said you got time to kind of you know, get in the studio and pursue your creativity. Was that something that was something that was a concise decision as soon as this situation arose? Was it, right, now I'm going to max this? Or are you somebody that kind of just waits until it feels right and then kind of acts on that creativity?
Yeah. For me, that's the case. I mean, for years I tried to like be, in the studio at set times and so on, but it just doesn't work. I mean, it's great if you want to, whatever, update your plugins or download an extra sample CD or whatever, you sure. know, it's great for those things, but, you know, creativity just comes, or at least for me, I can't, it's not something I can switch on. And I have to say, you know, being, I have like a small home studio which I'm in right now, which is perfect. As soon as you have an idea, I just run up, you know, do a little bit to see if I can get the idea out, or at least like a sort of sketch, which worked great. And I think the other thing is that I took the opportunity to make a lot more, like, let's say, pop related or more song related tracks, which kind of seemed fitting for this period and which I really, really enjoyed. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about songs and songwriting. And for track one, I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Sure. So I just start?
Yeah, just tell me what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many songs, but for me, it's Pharoah Munch and Simon Says. I mean, I know it's actually a sample from a Japanese Godzilla movie, but I think that's what makes it so epic. And I just like the way that, you know, you start with this filmish kind of trailer thing, and then it goes into like a funky hip hop track. So yeah, for sure.
Oh, do you know what? I've this is probably going to be nearly the sort of 300th episode I've done of this, and I'm surprised that no one's ever chosen that, and you've got him first, because I'd forgotten about that track, and I've played it out over the years DJing, and as soon as you sent the list over, and I put together like a little playlist just to go through the songs, the minute that started, I was like, why has no one chose this? It's huge, isn't it? And it's like...
But, I mean, it is one of those tracks that everybody knows, but you just, it's kind of like, you know, in the back of your mind. So it's just, it's funny.
And so in regards to sort of production and remixing as well, like the way that the young people listen to music now is far different from how it would have been when you first started producing.
Sure, yeah.
And so my question is like, do you embrace and, you know, or acknowledge the changes in the way that people's listening habits are now, insofar as, you know, I watch my children and they listen to music via TikTok and things like this, and their attention spans seem to be getting smaller and smaller, and the thumbs are moving faster. And I just wonder, you know, are these considerations when you're putting tunes together now?
Yeah, I mean, like when I just started out, it was not strange if your track would be like 6 minutes.
Yeah,
and now you just stay slightly outside of 3 minutes, just there, so there is a differentiation between the radio edit and the actual club edit. I mean, to be honest, I think if you can manage to tell what you want to tell with your music within those 3 minutes, or even if it's within 2 minutes, you know, I mean, like, it's I think it's fine, but I don't think it should be a mandatory thing or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, I mean, I like to compare music to food, you know, because that makes it clear a lot of times. You know, I mean, it is a bit of it, because there's so much of it, you know, I mean, it's so relatively easy to own a studio, which is basically a laptop and a headphone, theoretically. It's easier to put music out. So there's so much. So it you know, I think music has become sometimes a bit of a franchise model, if I can say politely that way. It could be a fast food thing, which is fine, you know, because I mean, there's a reason why fast food things are fast food restaurants are so do so well in the world in terms of business. But at the same time, I don't think it's something where you take your boyfriend or girlfriend and say like, hey, you know, let's go eat McNuggets something, or, you know. So I do think that for yourself, you have to make that, you know, if you do something short, it's fine, but just make sure that you pack everything you want to say within that thing. Yeah. And but feel free to do something that is six minutes long, you know. But I think it's something that's not, you know, you can't really avoid, you know. I mean, I also noticed that if I watch a movie and it takes too long, it's like, you know, come on. But then again, you know, I mean, if you dang, what was that movie that was 3 hours long that everybody talked about, with Al Pacino?
With Robert De Niro and Pacino.
Sorry, yeah.
Irishman.
Thank you. Yeah, because I think I do think that is interesting, because it's, at least for me, it was so captivating that, you know, time is relative, so it flies by. So I think that's where the challenge lies for us, is to make sure your music is captivating enough that you can add that extra minute.
But I find this is the case with podcasts, and for instance, if you know, if you was promoting a record and you was going on a TV show, they'd have you on there for 5 minutes, you'd tell them an anecdote, you'd tell them about the new record and another little story, and then it's on to the next guest, and it's very fast-paced. Whereas I think, and the same with mainstream radio as well, whereas I think with podcasts, I'm really surprised and happy that it's growing so big as a form of media, and it does kind of buck the trend. It slows things down. It is more about long-form interviews and a relaxed chat rather than, right, let's just trim off all the fat and let's just have this precise little soundbite. So, I do like that. And I'm with you. I think if you can write the perfect pop record in 2.5 minutes, great. But if you've got a 6-minute, you know, Radiohead kind of beautiful soundscape, Don't compromise your art, you know, let that play out. So,
I do think it works both ways, because I think, you know, if you take a few years ago, it was also, okay, you know, my record is 8 minutes. So it must be good, which is also not a given, you know.
It's completely.
It works both ways.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to take you back for track two. And I'm going to ask you to tell me, please, the first song that you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Well, actually, my mom, especially my mom, played a lot of Sting, and so I think Shape of My Heart was one of the things that had an immediate impact. You know, and it still does. To be honest, it's still such a talented artist. Even though when I was younger, when my mom used to play it, I would hate it, of course, because your mom plays it, or your dad, doesn't matter, but that's why you hate it. But I think over time you start to appreciate it more. And I think overall it's a very interesting artist, Sting, as well. But it's still one of my favorite songs.
And what's the emotion? What was the emotion that you got hearing that?
I don't know. I think it's because I hardly listen to lyrics, actually. You know, I so for me, it's always how something comes at me, and it I don't know how to explain that, but it either does something with you or nothing, or it makes you happy or sad. Or but I think if I had to say it's probably the guitar lick that's in there, and I think his voice has a sort of I don't know. It's like it has something fragile to it, or something.
Definitely.
Yeah, which I think is kind of gets you or it doesn't, but it gets me. Yeah.
So where was growing up? Where was home at this point?
I mean, I grew up in sort of in the middle of Holland, around Utrecht. Basically there, and had a fairly normal childhood, I think, like a small suburban, town. And my dad is a physiotherapist, so he would work, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So happy memories.
And so you said that your mum would be playing like Sting records and stuff. Was there always music on at home growing up?
Yeah, pretty much. And the fun thing was my mom was more into like Sting and like Enya and classical music and, you know, kind of like more easy stuff, where my dad was more into like James Brown, Parliament. He did like the Police, but not so much Sting, of course, you know, to kind of, so yeah. So more like funky. And then again, also some like Art of Noise, Alan Posse's project, you know, those sort of back then experimental sort of things. And I think the combination kind of shaped my personal music taste.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm going to say, because they're quite different sort of ends of the spectrum, really, to be exposed to stuff like Enya and then them kind of sort of classical sounding sort of soundscapes and stuff, and then, you know, the immediacy of the Police and stuff like that. Do you think, as you've got older, you can definitely look back and go, all of that kind of went in the pot, and it's all kind of it's all there, and it's all, you know, I can draw influences from all of that now?
Yeah, I mean I like to think so. You know, I think that's also the reason why I've never been, also with the music that I make myself, it's never been super narrow. You know, it's never been like, oh, I only do this or only do this, or because I mean my mom, besides being a stay-at-home mom, she paints and sculpts, and so I think the step of making or doing something artistic is definitely, and she always supported that. It took my dad a little longer, but I think that combination always made me feel free, and also that's how I feel. You know, like if you look at any artist throughout history, if it's like Van Gogh or Rembrandt or whoever you want to take it, you see always them go through certain periods as well, because you want to develop as an artist, no matter what you do. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. I think that should be the case with anything. It doesn't matter if you break bad big bread, or, you know, you kind of want to refine something that you're
absolutely
working on. So I think that's why I've never deliberately, also because especially in the beginning, like all the requests I got is like, can you make something like Detroit, can you make something like the Creeps, can you make something, and I deliberately never wanted to repeat myself too much. Which has good and bad sides, but at least I'm very happy with that myself, and I think my fans sort of are super cool about it. You know, I can do a pop song on one side and then almost a techno song on the other side, and they'll you know I'm not saying that they like everything, but at least they accept the fact that I do those things. So I think that's what I took away from it the most. Yeah
I think that's important as an artist, to be able to do that and have that freedom to create what you're happy doing.
Yeah, I think there's so many parts about being an artist. You know, I mean, like, and it doesn't matter if it's DJ wise or if you're a singer. But I mean, there's a huge entertainment part about it as well. In some cases, you know, I mean, just name them. You know, like Bowie or Madonna or Michael Jackson, which is probably one of the most or the height of entertainment as well, even though he was an amazing artist. But I've never been like, I mean I'm comfortable on the podium, but I've never been an amazing entertainer. I personally think so I think that's why also I feel the need more to express myself through trying out things.
Well, going to stay in the formative years for the next question, and I'm going to ask you please to tell me the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
I mean, there's so many, but let me see. I chose Heavy D and the Boys, Now That We Found Love.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have like a very specific. I mean, I used to, I still do actually, but I used to love dancing. I used to be in like this little hip hop group when I was like teeny tiny. But this song kind of, I don't know, I actually loved school. I was bad at it, but I loved school. So this has that happy vibe to it that sort of represents the fun I had at school.
Did you have any idea what you wanted to be when you was at school?
No, not really. Not I mean, I started with, you guys call it mobile disco. That's how you, yep. how you call it. Yeah, yeah, like very, very early on. So that interest was always there, but I like dancing. I like sports. So I don't know. There were several things, but I never really. I imagined myself doing something creative always, you know. But music kind of sort of, in hindsight, was sort of like always there. And then I started to have like a side job as a DJ in a little cafe, and that's I think where, you know, it was game over.
Yeah,
I didn't want to do anything else anymore. Yeah, yeah.
And well, I mean, obviously.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So you mentioned that, you know, you're not super comfortable as an entertainer on that side of, you know, being an artist, and you know, however, you've stood behind decks on some of the biggest stages, you know, in the world. So I just want to ask you, even in the, you know, at school and them early shows, right the way through to now, have you always had? Are you confident as a person?
No, I yes and no. I have confident parts where I, you know, I mean, there's certain situations, but I think everybody has. I have certain situations where I'm like super confident, and then of course I have things that I'm doubtful about. But I always approach life like, okay, if I'm shy about something, if I'm scared of something, within reason, of course, because, you know, I always wanted to go and investigate that. I sort of always pushed myself to at least experience what I was scared, afraid, uncomfortable of. And that's actually also one of the reasons why I was, because I was super, super shy in also when I just started playing, you know. So for me, it was also, as a person, logical to do this, because it would force me to be a bit more social. So I think I grew more confident over the years by having that attitude in life, and I still do, I think. But you also notice that, I mean, like, once again, I'm comfortable entertaining, but it's not... And I do enjoy it, but it's something... I think the way I enjoy it is maybe a bit more introvert. I'm not naturally on my hands behind the DJ booth, or you know, it's not no fireworks shooting out my ass, or you know, just, you know, it's just that. So I'm comfortable, and I think it feels very natural for me, especially now. But I don't have that extra, or I don't know if it's an extra, but if you look at Robbie Williams, you know, that's an entertainer to me.
Yeah.
Where whatever, I don't know, like some other guys are more Ed Sheeran is more a musician than an entertainer.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
They're both comfortable on stage, but there's a difference in presentation.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, as we come, you know, out of lockdown, perhaps the fireworks out the arse could be great for a return show, man. Give it some consideration.
I might be so happy. No, yeah, true.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Well, I'm going to ask you for track four. The first song you've been buying from a record store, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry. I'm actually playing it, but because to be honest, it was an album. It was not just a single.
Sure.
So it was the Bad album from Michael Jackson, because I was a huge Michael Jackson fan back then. If I had to choose one, I chose Smooth Criminal.
Oh, wonderful.
But that was also actually my first concert that I ever went to. I was such a fan. Yeah.
So was that, who was supporting on that tour? Can you remember? Was that the one that where the tour support was Chris Cross and Kim Wilde, was it?
I know.
Or was it Rosala?
That's what I think, yeah. But yeah. It's been so long ago. I mean, like...
And so, I mean, like I said, I've done hundreds of these interviews now, and Michael Jackson comes up time and time again. You know, it's the same with Madonna, same with Prince. You know, these artists, it's impossible to ignore. Yeah. I just wonder, and I always like to ask artists this, where their stance is on Michael Jackson now in regards to all of the accusations, which we should make clear, nothing has ever been proven.
Mm-hmm.
But would you play a Michael Jackson record out if you was DJing?
That's a hard one.
You don't have to answer if I put you on the spot here.
No. I'm just thinking about it because I like my first reaction is that a Michael Jackson record, yes, but an R. Kelly record, no. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally. I get that.
But yeah, but maybe that's not completely fair or something. But I think maybe that's a tough one.
I'm comfortable listening to Michael Jackson records because they've formed such. I think it's that thing, if you can separate the music from the artist, you know, yeah, or the music from the man, however you want to sort of phrase it, and you know, I rarely hear Michael Jackson records on the radio now, but when I do hear them, I still get a lot of joy from them because they remind me of such a big part of my life growing up.
But I'm not sure if I play them out. No, but I have to say it's not the first thing that pops to my mind if somebody mentions Michael Jackson, I think of the music first, yeah. And where with like some other cases, like I mentioned, it's the other way around.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's more that is before my time. If I would choose an artist, which is also a little controversial, I would rather actually choose James Brown, because everything that came after him, which is Michael Jackson, Prince, Justin Timberlake, it's all inspired on him, you know.
100%.
So, but I was just not. It was not for my time. So
sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. I mean, and also just talking record stores, as a young man, and then as a teenager, and as somebody that was, you know, fast forming an incredible career as a DJ producer, how important were record stores growing up?
I still miss them to this day, because it was also a sort of it was a social thing as well, you know, and it's kind of like, I mean, even though in the beginning I hated it, you know, because you know when you come in the like a proper record store for the first time, you only get the stuff that's on the wall and not behind the counter, which was a whole thing back then, you know. It's like you kind of had to earn that spot to get, and then
it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's so ridiculous. And you're so in awe of them people behind the counter, like they're gods. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. But at the same time, it kind of had, I don't know, it kind of had a, I don't know, it's like a, like saving for something, you know, when you save up for something, it kind of had that same, because if you would be a regular client, you would get a little bit more. And then in my case, I started playing at like a locally respected a club, you know, so I would get even a little bit more. And, you know, so it kind of had a charm as well, but also like discussing different things. And then, you know, either trying to stay as late as possible, because I knew that, you know, one of the distributors would bring like new records, and then stay as late as possible. And then it was a whole thing, you know. It just sometimes if there only were three copies, trying to buy all three of them, you know, so you would be the only DJ in the region. Yeah. To, you know, so there were a lot of games which were frustrating at the same time as well. But I don't know, it sort of had I just have good memories about it, because I mean, now you just go online and, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That whole journey that you just explained there, you know, with the quest of getting this great record, like I'm sure of so many records that you could pull out of your box that you bought from that store back then, you could have some kind of journey or story attached to. Whereas now, you know, for good or bad, I don't want to come across like, you know, an old granddad going like, no, it's better in my day. You know, there's lots of benefits to technology and what's happening now with accessibility to music. But there's something that's been lost in that journey, I think.
A little bit, yeah.
And I love that. And while we're talking about that journey, and I touched on confidence earlier, you know, the world of DJing and you know, work as a producer, it's in the music industry, famously one of the most difficult industries to certainly achieve the level of success that you've achieved. Confidence aside, what about drive? How driven are you?
Very. But I think you need to be. Because, I mean, like, it's... You have to be a tiny bit naive, I would even say, because there's just so many parts of it that are not easy or not nice and not glamorous and not, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that is not the main stage, so to speak, you know. So yeah, I think your drive is necessary. You really, really have to love this full 100, because otherwise it's just undoable.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not complaining or something, but I, you know, I had many tour managers that just gave up after a few months, like, bro, like, you know. So it's, I'm fairly easy, you know. I mean, I also grab my party left or right, but I'm fairly easy in that way. So it's just brutal, you know. And sometimes the competition as well. I do have to say, I think it's a bit of an advantage being from Holland, because I think even though there is some competitions, I think in general we kind of click together and help each other a little bit. So I do think that is nice, because I've seen some other countries where people really hate each other's guts, you know, and like really trying to block things, and, you know, I mean, yeah. So I think that's good, but yeah, you have to be maybe not so much confident, but definitely have a strong backbone.
Yeah.
If I can say it like that, you have to be able to take some, and but now as well, you know, I mean, like, you know, it's so easy. It still takes effort and courage to put your little baby, you know, your new track or whatever out there. And then it's so easy for everyone to like spit on it, shout at it, kick at it, you know. It's so, yeah, I would say like have a spine even more than
And in an industry like where you know, when you mentioned Bowie and obviously Jackson and things like it, you know, back then you could put records out and you can be shielded by labels and things like that, and you know, but in a world of YouTube and social media, the minute you put something out, you can get trolls saying horrific things, you know, about your creativity and things like that. And I'm not suggesting you've been exposed to that, but if you have, like, do you just ignore that? Do you ever engage with you know, with anyone saying like criticizing unnecessarily, not something that's just, it's not for me, but when, you know, you can get some fucking awful people on social media. Yep. And I just wonder like how you deal with any kind of sort of negative stuff on there.
I, to be honest, like I check my mood. Let me put it that way, before I read anything. If I want to read anything, because I do, because you kind of want to know what your fans are thinking. But if you already sort of are not like completely, you know, 100%, you know, feeling comfortable or I don't know, you had a rough week or whatever, you know. So I do really check that, because I used to read everything all the time. But the strange thing about just being a human, I guess, is like you can have literally 100 comments that are super nice and great, and there's just this one asshole that writes something horrendous, and that's what gets you, you know. And especially if you read just before you have to go on, you're like, oh, you know, and it kind of kills your mood. So I'm just aware of when I'm going to read something.
Yeah, that's great advice. Check your mood before you check your socials. No, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we've spoke so much about DJing and clubbing so far. So for track five, I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing.
Oh yeah. That's Morals Groove, or George Morrow, I should say, and then Let's Groove. Yeah, that for me is just like, I don't know, maybe one of the biggest club anthems of all time.
Yeah,
because it just also keeps coming back, you know. So yeah, that's yeah.
So, was you sort of, did you experience a lot of sort of clubbing as a sort of teenager, and you know, and as you sort of approaching your 20s and stuff, or was this the point when you was really focused on, you know, trying to get where you got, you know, was clubbing, was you always behind the decks, and are you just as comfortable the other side?
No, I especially in the, like, well, for me, it's strange enough. It started with, I had a friend who taped like a pirate radio station every night. That's where the interest for house came from. We were like, whoa, what is this, you know? And sometimes, because it was, he would just you know, back with when you had cassettes, he would just put it on before, you know, just before he went to sleep, because it was in the middle of the night, and sometimes you would just catch static. So there was definitely an interest, and then I had some friends who took me like to, like, I wouldn't say, I mean, not super underground, but more underground parties, and I was just always there for the music. I was just intrigued. And then it was actually another friend in high school who had turntables. And I think that's where I really got the, because I was already interested in, but I also liked hip hop and, you know, I'd like different stuff, but also dance music. And I kind of liked that whole atmosphere. And so I was sneaking out kind of like pretty young, I guess, already. So yeah, but when I got introduced to turntables, I was hooked.
And so what was that at that point? Was you interested in sort of beat matching, or was you interested in scratching and sort of, you know, more sort of turntablism and stuff?
No, beat matching, definitely. Because I mean, it definitely was, because I think there was a certain transition. I started out, I think, with hip hop, but I think a lot because there's so many funk and soul in early hip hop, and that's sort of what I, like I told you, grew up on. Yeah. So that was an automatic match. But then at a certain point, it was too much about, you know, look at me in my so many cars, so many women, whatever. There was no political message or whatever, or no happy things, or it's just whatever. It's not for me. I don't live in the ghetto. I've never lived in a ghetto. I don't feel the need to shoot people or, you know. Yeah. Also because I was fairly young. So, yeah, so that I just didn't feel that anymore. And then at the same time, like I got more and more through friends, actually more and more into house music and different kinds, because the guy that sort of taught me how to play records was really into acid. Okay, what's this? You know, so it was more interest. So that kind of like came together nicely. And then, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's weird why beat matching can be so addictive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just strange.
Well, for track six, I'm going to take you home and ask for a favorite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Yeah, that was really hard. Because, I mean, to be honest, like, I don't think Dutch music is the ideal music to sing in. I mean, I think that's probably where we create electronic music. But, I mean, if it would be French or Portuguese or Spanish, sure, but Dutch is not the greatest language to sing in. So I actually chose someone that sings in English, which is a postman. They sort of had a short career, but I think it's done very well, and the song is called You Wait. I mean, it's straight up reggae, but yeah, you know, it's just I love that, and I love that song. I think it's done really well.
Well, I went and checked them out because I'd never heard of them until you sent it over, and then went and explored some more of their stuff. And it is, as you say, that the bones of it's definitely reggae. But there's also, I was listening to some of their other stuff, there's definitely sort of like a ska influence in there as well, and
yeah,
like
totally, yeah.
Lots of that kind of upstrokes and stuff. It's like, yeah, it's really, really, I thought it was great. And so, just lastly, for track seven, I'm going to ask you to do what you do best, really, and play DJ and turn someone on to new people and you know, replicate that moment where there is a new track that you got just as the record store was shutting and you bought all three copies so no one else could have one. And I'm going to ask you for a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Well, I think that there is a good group of people out there that know this song, but I think there's a few artists, because I was doubting, there's a few artists that I think are just didn't get enough attention by the mainstream. So that's mainly why I chose the song, which is Janelle Monáe and Tightrope. I think she got quite a lot of attention as a person, but I think some of her music is absolutely amazing as well. So I just would like, you know, a bit of extra interest there from people in general. Yeah.
Ah, it's a great tune as well. What we do is we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast so people can now go over and listen to cool. All of the songs that that you've chosen and some others that we've chatted about as well. As we find ourselves coming out of, we're recording this on the 26th of April, and certainly in the UK things are looking brighter. As we do, if we keep a positive mindset here and look towards the closing part of this year and the summer to be a time of more reconnecting with people and being able to go to festivals and hopefully clubs and to be able to hug your friends and such. What are you looking forward to personally, and what's going to be happening professionally?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I to be honest, I never thought I would say this because I traveled so much that there were points that I'm like, oh no, please not another 14-hour flight, you know. But I actually miss traveling. And so for me personally, that's one of the things that I just can't wait And I think for everyone, if you can do it, you know, it's such an enriching thing in life. So yeah, I think that's for me personally. In the business, I'm just really curious because I made so much music, which is I think I pretty much have my whole schedule release schedule for the rest of the year already. So I'm just really curious if you know, people that listen to the music coming out experience the same, let's say, freedom or left turn or right turn or however you want to call it, that I took in making this. And I just hope they enjoy it as much as I did making it. Yeah.
Wonderful. And if people want to keep up to speed with shows when they happen and releases, where's the best place for people to keep up to speed with what you're doing?
If you really want to know everything, my website is always fine, FeddyLegrand.com. Otherwise, you know, everything is Feddy LeGrand, so it's pretty easy. And so you can do Instagram, TikTok, or Twitter.
Wonderful. Feddy, I've had a real lovely time chatting with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Cool. No, thank you.
Okay, take it easy.
I will. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. There you go. Put your hands up for Feddy LeGrand. Sorry. That was terrible, wasn't it? That really was a terrible joke. God, I hope he doesn't listen because he would have heard that a gazillion times. Thanks loads to Feddy for giving up his time. Wonderful song choices. Head over to Spotify, check out them songs. It's lovely getting to speak to people in different countries. I'm loving that. So that's Holland ticked off the list. Thanks ever so much for listening. Thanks again to Feddy for giving up his time to have that natter. Hope you enjoyed it. As mentioned at the beginning, if this is your first time listening, go and explore the archives because there's nearly 300 episodes that you can get stuck into for free. Go and have a look through, see who you recognise, and give a few of them a play. And then before you know it, I've got you. I've won you over. You're in the Off the Beat and Track cult. You've subscribed. Get stuck in, people. I'll see you next time. Be excellent to each other. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whippin.